Welcome to episode 77 of the Speak On The Podcast, hosted by your boy T-Lip. What up, though? What's happening? Hey, playoffs is back. NFL playoffs is back. We're here for the second round of the playoffs. 8 teams left. 4 teams will be going home after this Sunday. And then we will know who will go on to the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship, where they will be played at. We would know all of that. But there are some things I wanted to talk about. I'm going to spend a lot of emphasis on today's episode talking about the Saturday games. And those are between the Houston Texans traveling to Baltimore to play the Ravens. And there are the Green Bay Packers traveling to San Francisco to play the 49ers. Both of the one seeds are playing this weekend. They had the week off. A lot of the guys didn't play in week 17 or week 18. So they've been off for like 2.5 weeks, basically. Some key guys are going to be missing these games. I've seen that Marlon Humphrey, the Pro Bowl cornerback, well, at least he was, a Pro Bowl. He did make the Pro Bowl at a time in his career. Pro Bowl cornerback Marlon Humphrey from the Ravens, he's not going to be playing this week with a calf injury that he had. You know, he re-aggravated it in a Miami game on a field goal block. And they're going to have to make up for that. You know, Stevens is going to have to step up. Darby's going to have to do his thing. Number 10, I think, is Arthur Mollett. He's going to have to do his thing as well. Our Darius Washington is back, so he's going to have, they're going to have to step up. All of them are going to have to step up for sure. So I'm going to just jump right into that game. This is a big game for Lamar. Obviously, he's 1-3 in the playoffs so far. I guess his passing rating, has been lower than 40%. Quarterback rating has been lower than 40 in those 4 games. He averaging, 13 points in those 4 playoff games as well. And, obviously that was years ago. It was in 2019. He ended up losing to – at home, he lost to the Titans. He had lost to the Bills in one game as well. I'm trying to think who else he lost to. I know he beat the Titans after he lost to them. But he's 1-3. I'm going to just say that. I don't count last year because he wasn't playing. He did not play in the playoffs last year. They played the Bengals last year. But the Bengals only won by 3 points. If Lamar plays in the playoffs last year, if he don't get injured in week 10 or week 12 or something like that, and he goes on to play, he wins playoff games, and he's probably contending for a Super Bowl last year. That's what I do know. But this is a big game for Lamar. Obviously, there's a lot of noise going around his name. If he loses, it's going to be bad. He's losing to a rookie. Losing to a rookie coach and a rookie quarterback. He's 1-3 in the playoffs. He'd be a 2-time MVP with 1 playoff win. Is he a playoff guy? Can he make things happen? Can he win? Is this type of play, if this style of play, winnable in the NFL right now? There's going to be so many speculations and things being said regarding his name. So I just say, man, Lamar, go out there and make it happen. This is one of those games that I don't think you should lose. I think Baltimore should go out there and dominate this team. I'm not going to lie. This is a young Houston team. This team is young. They have young guys all over making plays, but they're young. They don't even – like, I'm not going to say they don't belong in the playoffs, but they barely made the playoffs. Like, they was one of those teams that needed things to happen for them to make the playoffs. They needed the Jaguars to lose. They needed, Baltimore to win. They needed Buffalo to beat Miami. They needed a lot of things to happen for them to even be in the playoffs. So Baltimore is the one seed. They didn't need anything to happen. They took care of their business. By far, Baltimore is the better team. They have the best player on the field in Lamar Jackson. They have the best defense on the field. They have the best coach on the field. I think they got the best running game and the best wide receiver wide receiver group on the field. So I say this is a game. Obviously, it's a must win. If you lose, you're going home. But this is a must win for Lamar. Go out there, handle your business. I think he's projected to throw the over-under 225 yards. Will he throw over that? I don't know. But I've seen him win games throwing for 189 yards. If I'm not mistaken, last year in the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl, and he didn't even pass for over 200 yards last year. So games are winnable. Making timely plays, making key runs, making things happen is how you're going to win. And I think Lamar will do that. I think he's been antsy. You know, he's been wanting to play for the past few weeks. But, you know, they took care of business at home and took care of business all season where they had a bye week. So that's just the nature of the game. They're going to come in the game fresh. I think the first quarter is going to be a quarter where they have to get acclimated quick. But I think they should. I think they'll be able to come out there and, you know, able to make things happen quick. They're going to be the fresher team. I think they're going to be ready to play. That's just me. I think the run game will be going. Gus Edwards. And what we're not talking about enough, I love Justice Hill. I love what he's doing in the backfield because he's in the passing game, in the running game, he's a dynamic running back for that team. They're missing Keaton Mitchell. If they had Keaton Mitchell, I'd be like, bro, they're going to win. They're going to win regardless because Keaton Mitchell is a home run threat that they haven't had in a while. But we don't know because they signed Dalvin Cook. Remember, they signed Dalvin Cook in week 18, right before week 18. Dalvin Cook was a New York Jet for the predominantly all of this season. He didn't have a lot of carries, barely had over 200 yards rushing this year. But it's still Dalvin Cook. He still can come in and do some things. Like, they didn't need Dalvin Cook, so anything he's able to do is going to help this offense. It's going to help this team. And I think that's great for the Ravens. If he's able to come in and have a couple big runs, you know, be able to go back and forth with Justice Hill in the field and then in the red zone and in between the 10-yard line, hand that ball off to Gus Edwards, he just adds another dynamic that they haven't had this year since Keaton Mitchell went down. And he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, just last year, this was a guy that caught a screen versus the Colts and took it 80 yards to – basically win the game versus Indianapolis. This is a guy that broke an 80-yard run versus the Bills last year. So he's still Dalvin Cook. And they don't need him to be the number one running back right now. So if he's able to add to this team and have some key runs, have some key plays, that ain't going to do nothing but make this whole offense better. So I'm looking forward to that. But they're going to have to put down to C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is going to have some looks that he haven't had all year. Obviously, this team played in week one, but that was, you know, C.J. Stroud's first start in the NFL. That was the Baltimore Ravens' first game this season. Baltimore won 25-9, not giving up any touchdowns. But this is a new Houston team. The quarterback is playing really well. Nico Collins is playing really well. Devin Singletary is playing really well. The defense has came along. You know, they're flying around. They have young defense, a bunch of young guys on that defense, but they're handling business. So I love what I'm seeing from them. But I think it's on the Ravens to close the door on all of that. I don't think this game is going to be close. I think it might be close for, like, let's say they probably go in the first half. It's probably like 17-10. But I think the Ravens is going to take care of business in the second half. I think this game is going to be won by double digits by Houston. I think they're going to come out and make a statement. They've been hearing all week about, you know, they might lose this game and how hot Houston is and how hot the young quarterback is. They've been hearing all of that noise. So I'm sure, you know, they antsy to play. They're ready to play. And I'm excited to see I'm excited to see Lamar. I'm excited to see this whole Baltimore team go out there and make things happen. I'm excited to see what they're gonna do. I would say X factor in this game. Well, I'm gonna do one for Baltimore and one for Houston. I'm gonna say the X factor in this game for Baltimore. I'm just gonna say the run game as a whole. I want to go one player, but I'm gonna just say the run game as a whole because number one rushing offense, Dalvin Cook is in there. He adds some new flavor to that team. You run the ball, you can control the game. You run the ball, you control the clock, you control the game. You control everything about the game. Put pressure on Houston's offense to make things happen. But you do that by your offense capitalizing, your offense keeping the chains moving, your offense wearing down that defense, you know? That's the X factor for Baltimore, being able to dominate and, you know, run the ball. I expect for them to run the ball for over 200 yards, period. And I would say the X factor for Houston, I'm going to go the X factor for Houston. Let me think about it, man. I'm going to have to go Nico Collins because, obviously, he's a wide receiver. Obviously, you know, Baltimore's number one corner is out, Marlon Humphrey. So that's playmaking that's out. That's wisdom that's out. That's experience that's out. And now you have Nico Collins that had a great year this year, has made some big plays, have done some great things. Hopefully he's able to, you know, fill in for that void. And that's going to be a, you know, I'm not going to say it's a big void because they've won games without Humphrey this year. I think he's missed like six games this year. So they played games without him, you know. And even in the game, the last game against Miami, I think he got hurt in the first quarter. So they was able to play three quarters without him. And they was able to lock down that deep, lock down on defense and make key plays with Ronald Darby, with Rock Johnson, with him. I think Stevens was out that game too, but Stevens can ball too, number 21. He's a baller at corner. So I'm paying attention to that matchup for sure, for sure. But I expect the Ravens to win. Like I said, I think they're going to win like 31 to – I think this is like a 31-17 game, 31-13 game, you know. Got the Ravens winning. But moving on from that, like I said, the number one seeds are playing this weekend. They are back in effect. And the other Saturday night game is going to have – Green Bay versus the 49ers. 49ers are healthy. Most of their guys are going to be playing in this game. Brock Purdy hosts another home playoff game, you know. We're going to see how he plays. We're going to see how he matches up because this Packers team is coming in. I wouldn't say they're on fire, but I'd say they're playing pretty damn well right now. This is the team that just upsetted the Dallas Cowboys and really beat the brakes off of them on offense, defense, and special teams. They turned the ball over on defense. They got the ball back. They forced Dallas into become a team that they are not, and that is a passing team. They forced Dallas to have to throw the ball more than they wanted to. Obviously, we know what Green Bay is, man. They got a young quarterback. Jordan Love is a baller. A young offense, but they have Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is an X factor in every game he steps in. He knows how to win. He's played winning football a lot of the time in his career. He's able to make plays, able to run the ball, catch the ball out of the backfield. And they have a bunch of young wide receivers on their team that can make plays, man. They have a bunch of young wide receivers on their team that makes plays. So I'm excited to see this matchup, man. I'm excited to see who's the best quarterback on the field. Is it Jordan Love or is it Brock Purdy? You know, the way Jordan Love been playing this season, he's second in touchdowns all year, had 32 passing touchdowns. The last, eight games he's thrown for 24 touchdowns and one interception. Like, the back end of this season was way better than the first end of this season. He's protecting the ball. He's making Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre-ish throws. He's, like I said, he's protecting the ball. And even without a run game, he's able to make things happen and execute at a high level. Him and Matt LaFleur is their chemistry is growing right now. And obviously their chemistry been growing all year. And it's gotten better. You know, you can tell like him sitting behind Aaron Rodgers for these last few years has done very well for him. Very well. And I think that needs to happen more. I think quarterbacks, some quarterbacks need to sit a year and just digest the game at a higher level. Because it's hard to just throw a quarterback in and tell him to, hey, go out there and win. You feel me? Like, this the NFL, man. It's tough. Coming from playing college, like, where you're not playing against the best athletes in college all the time. You're not. You're playing against guys that probably don't even want to play no more. You're playing against guys that got class the next day or worry about an essay. You know, they worry about – they got so many worries, worry about girls. There's so many things going on when you're a college athlete. And he didn't have to worry about that. Jordan Love was able to sit behind one of the greatest quarterbacks ever and learn from him, learn the system, you know, learn how it is when you're traveling, learn the different game plans and how you're going to attack different teams. And he was able to sit there and soak all of that in. And that helped him. Obviously, we see him right now. He's playing big-time football right now. The 49ers, man, I think this is going to be like a Christian McCaffrey game. I think he's going to have his imprint on this game. He's going to have to damn near have over, I'll probably say, 150, 200 all-purpose yards, if that's rushing, if that's receiving out of the backfield. This is going to be a game that he's going to be able to dominate. He's going to have to go crazy. And if I'm Green Bay, I'm stacking the box. I'm saying, hey, Brock Purdy, beat me if you can. If you can beat me, beat me. That's what I'm saying. I'm stacking the box. I'm taking away your first read. That's what I'm on. Protecting my. I got all eyes on McCaffrey. That's what I have. If I'm Green Bay, that's my game plan. Brock Purdy gonna have to beat me. Take away the run, or at least try to limit the run. Put them in third and sevens, third and eights, third and nines, where Brock Purdy has to make a play. If you able to keep them in that, it's going to be great. That's what I like. That's what I like to see. I'm excited to see this game, and I think this is a great matchup. I think this is a great matchup. Before I choose my pick, I'm gonna just choose my pick first. Who do you have, Lip? Packers or the 49ers? Man. Damn, this is kind of tough. Because I like the Packers. I like the Packers. I'm not going to lie. I like the Packers. I like Jordan Love. I like the Packers defense for real. I like Jair Alexander. I like Gary. I like Preston Smith. You feel me? I like Savage. And I think they're playing pretty well right now. And they young, so they just playing free. I think this is the best they've been all year. And they may be able to catch the 49ers off guard, just like they caught the Cowboys off guard. Now, you looked up, and it was 14-0 in that Packers and Cowboys game. And then you looked up, it was 21-0. And it's like, oh, shit, how are we going to play now? I can see the Packers, you know, having a lead in this game as well. But I'm going to go with the 49ers. I just feel like it's going to be hard to stop Christian McCaffrey and the play calling by Kyle Shanahan. I think the running game is going to be able to open up some of the passing game for the 49ers. And I think that defense is going to be teeing off how they need to tee off. You got Nick Bosa, Armstead, Chase Young, you feel me, Ward, the corner. And you got Fred Warner and 57, what's his name, 57? I forgot his name, 57, but he a baller too, the other linebacker. I think these guys are going to be able to play how they want to play. And it's going to be tough for the Packers to go in there and win. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers won either. I'm going to say that. Now, I said all that to say this as well. Obviously, I'm taking the 49ers. I think the score will be, let's just say 31-27, 49ers. Now, I picked the Ravens and I picked the 49ers. Now, I'm going to say which one seed has the better chance of getting upset. Do the Packers have a better chance of going into the Bay Area, San Francisco, and beating the 49ers? Or do Houston have a better chance of going into Baltimore and beating Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? I'm going to just be real with y'all. I don't see Houston, Texas going into it was an MT Bank Arena, MNT Bank Arena Stadium, and beating the Ravens. MT Stadium, I don't see them going into Baltimore and winning, bro. Baltimore is going to be rocking. The legend's going to be there. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, all of them guys are going to be there. I can only imagine that they're going to be there. And I don't see them losing. I think the 49ers can be on upset alert. I think they've shown games this year where they lost. And there were low-scoring games, and there was games where you needed Brock Purdy to play well, and he turned the ball over at times. Right? And he turned the ball over because they needed him to go out and win games. They needed him to make that key third down throw or make multiple key third down throws. They needed him to drive the ball down the field and score. And when you ask him to throw the ball over 30 times, that's when it gets tough. That's when it gets tough. That's when you're able to sit back and see if he can really read defenses and go from read 1, 2 to 3. And maybe sometimes 4. When you down in games, play actions is out the window. Play actions, all them screen passes are out the window. And we watched, remember the Ravens game, Ravens and 49ers. Ravens was up by damn near like 14 points, 17 points. And the 49ers, they were throwing screen passes. They were still running the ball. They were throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage when they was down by 17 points. And Brock Purdy was still in. This was the third quarter. And I was like, man, why they don't trust him to throw the ball down the field? Like, in order to win, you're going to have to throw the ball down the field. That's why I said the key in that game is Christian McCaffrey. Because if you can stop Christian McCaffrey, I think you can stop that offense. Because Kyle Shanahan is not asking Brock Purdy to go out and win games. And you can tell by the play calling. He's asking him to not lose games. He's asking him to protect the ball. He's asking him to get the ball out of your hands quick to your playmakers. That's what he's doing. But when Brock Purdy gets off script, that's when the turnovers happen. When you start asking him to do more than, you know, he probably, I'm not going to say he can do because he may can do more. But when you start asking him to get out of character and start, you know, throwing the ball eight play drive or just throwing the ball eight straight plays, that's when it's like, oh, man, you know. Can he do that? He haven't showed that yet. So if the Packers can come out fast and get a lead and have to force Brock Purdy to throw the ball, throw them back into a game, it can get ugly. And that's why I say the Packers have a better chance of upsetting the 49ers. For real. So let me go on with this question, man. I seen this question on Twitter, on my Twitter page, Speak on the Podcast Twitter. And somebody raised this question. They said, best team, who is the best team in the AFC and in the NFC right now? There's four teams in each conference right now. Who are the best team on each conference right now? And in the AFC, you have the Bills, the Chiefs, the Texans, and the Ravens. And to me, the best team in the AFC right now, I would say the Ravens. They have the best defense. Every field they step on, I think Lamar Jackson is going to be the best player on that field. This year, I'm just talking about this year. This year, when he steps on the field versus Houston, he's the best player on the field. When he steps on the field versus the Chiefs or the Bills, this year, he's going to be the best player on the field. Even if Mahomes is on the field, just because of the team and the offense that Mahomes have. Obviously, I know that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback ever, but I'm talking about this year and right now. I think the Ravens, like I said, I think they have the perfect formula to win. I think they have the perfect formula. They have a run game. They have great receivers that can run after they catch the ball, and they're hard to tackle. Like I said, the run game, they got the best running game in the league with the quarterback, with Justice Hill, Gus Edwards, and now Dalvin Cook. They have the best defense and they have a leader on defense, a captain on defense, two of the best linebackers in the game, both all pro, both pro bowlers, and Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. You have Kyle Hamilton back. That's an all pro safety in his second year. You have Geno Stone that led the league in interceptions. You have Metabuke that's a baller right now. You have Clowney that's balling. You understand. Clowney went number one overall pick to Houston. And if I'm not mistaken, Houston didn't sign him back. Houston didn't break the bank on him. Houston let him go elsewhere. So I'm sure he has some animosity towards that program. He has some get back that he wants to handle as well. So he can wreck this game. Like, that, let's not forget, Clowney is a game wrecker. And the way he's been playing this year, he's been doing his thing. Clowney is a problem out there. So he can be an X factor to this game for real. And like I said, they got Duvernay back, a guy that can run punt returns back to the crib, that can run kick returns back to the crib. And he's just another weapon. So I think the Ravens are the best team in the AFC. And for the best team in the NFC, I'm going to have to go to 49ers. I mean, obviously, you got the Packers, the 49ers, the Buccaneers, and the Lions. The 49ers are the better team. They've been a better team all year. They had their little hiccups in the middle of the season where they lost three games in a row. But they came back strong, and they made some things happen besides what happens when the Ravens came to their town and beat the brakes off of them. The 49ers are the best team in the NFC right now. They have the best coach, two MVP candidates on their team in Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey. They have Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, like I said, Fred Warner, Ward. They have a lot of guys on this team that has been making a lot of plays for this team. Like, this has been the nucleus of this team since for the last 5 years. All of these guys. So they are the best team in the NFC, hands down. Give it to that. Next question. I pose this question. I seen this question on Twitter as well. Who is the most dangerous team in the playoffs? The most dangerous team in the playoffs out of these eight teams? I'm going to have to say, this is tough. This is a tough question right here. Because there's a couple teams that you can say are the most dangerous teams. But if I had to pick a team right now on who's the most dangerous team in the NFL right now out of these eight teams that we have left, I'm going to have to say the Buffalo Bills. They have one of the most dangerous players in the game that wants to win, and he plays with a winning edge every time he comes out, Josh Allen. They have a running back that's been balling this year, James Cook, been doing his thing. He's been able to, you know, they ever since they fired their previous offense coordinator, he's turned around and handed him off the ball more, and that just added another dynamic to this offense. And that opened up the field for the tight ends. That opened up the field for Kincaid, for Knox, for Diggs even more, for Shakir even more. I don't know if Gabe Davis played this week, but he didn't play last week, and they performed how they needed to perform. I'm going to just say this is a dangerous team, man, because they can be led by Josh Allen. And anytime he steps on the field, he has a chance to win. No matter what, I feel like he has a chance to win when he steps on the field. He's dynamic. I mean, the back end of this season, this year that he's had an MVP back end, but he did not have an MVP. The first eight games, he looked like terrible Josh Allen. He looked like the bad side of Josh Allen. But the last eight games of the season, he's looked like the good version of Josh Allen, the one that hasn't turned the ball over as much, the ones that put the team on his back. And you can actually say, like, this looked like Josh Allen's team now. Like, this is what it looks like. Maybe last year it didn't. Maybe the year before last it didn't. But right now, this looks like a Josh Allen football team. Like, it is ran complete. It ain't nobody else's team. It ain't nobody else's team. This is his team, and this is his moment. And he's, I would say, in the playoffs right now, he's the most dangerous player in the playoffs right now, for sure. So, with all that being said, man, we're going to have a great weekend, man. I think this is going to be one of the better college football. My bad, I'm tripping. I'm tripping. My bad. This is going to be one of the better weekends of football. I mean, you have great quarterback play. Man, you got Lamar Jackson, C.J. Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Baker Mayfield, and Jared Goff. Some of the better quarterbacks. You know, you got seven first-round quarterbacks. How many number one overall picks? I think, two? The only two number one overall pick quarterbacks is Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff. And they on the back end, they are the number one picks. They are the only number one picks, former number one picks. Quarterbacks left out of these eight teams right now. But like I said, it's going to be some great quarterback matchups, man. Josh Allen, Mahomes in Buffalo. That's going to be a big game. I mean, Josh Allen is 0-2 versus Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, but he's had his number a couple times in the regular season. But this is going to be a big game because if y'all remember them playing earlier in this year, that was the whole Kadarius Toney offsides throwback play where they called a touchdown back and they end up losing the game. The Chiefs end up losing the game. The Chiefs going to have something to say in this game. The Chiefs going to remember that. So it's going to be a big game. Jordan Love, Brock Purdy. The way Jordan Love been playing the last 8, 9, 10 games of the season, he's damn near been a top five quarterback. Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff. Two number one picks that are not on the team that drafted them. So they feel like they underdogs. They feel like they got something to prove. And this is going to be big. That game is going to be big in Detroit. Love it. And then you got C.J. Stroud versus Lamar Jackson. C.J. Stroud is a top five quarterback right now, hands down. Obviously, he has to continue to play like this in his throughout his career and next year and the year after that. But right now, the way he's playing, the way he's looking, he looks like a top five quarterback for sure. Lamar Jackson is a top two quarterback. I'm going to say top three for the people that think Josh Allen is better than Lamar Jackson. He's not. Lamar Jackson is better than Josh Allen. They are the same type of quarterback, but I think, bruh, they are the same type of quarterback, right? But Lamar Jackson got two MVPs. How many MVPs Josh Allen got? He don't have them. Lamar Jackson is the better quarterback. He has two MVPs. It shouldn't be questioned no more on who's the better quarterback out of that. And maybe we see that matchup next week. If the Ravens win and the Bills win, we're going to see that matchup next week. And then we're going to see. So, but we ain't going to look forward to that. We're going to look forward to this weekend. Great quarterback play. Great defenses. Great playmaking. I'm excited to see this weekend, man. A mixture of great young quarterbacks. A lot of these quarterbacks not even 30. I don't think none of these quarterbacks are 30. So the remaining eight quarterbacks in the playoffs right now, none of them are over 30. Shit, some of them ain't even 25, 26. So football is in a great place. NFL is in a great place. It's in a great place. I'm excited to see this weekend. And obviously, I will talk about Sunday's games. That episode will be given to you, I would say, Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I will break down those games. But today, I just chose to break down the Saturday's games. So I'm excited for this weekend, man. I'm excited to see some great football, see some great playmaking being made. I love playoff football. I love winning football. I love to see people's backs against the wall. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's when you see greatness. That's when you either going to fold or you're going to rise. And there ain't going to be no more talking. That's the thing I love about sports. You can't talk your way out of shit or you can't talk your way into shit. You have to play. You have to play. You can tell me all you want. But I got to see it on the film. I got to see it on the field. That's what I love about sports. Greatest competition in the world. Greatest competition in the world. Appreciate y'all for tuning in to Speak On It podcast. This is episode 77. It's all love. enjoy y'all weekend, man. Drink y'all water, man. Drink y'all some tea. And, shit, eat y'all some fruit and some vegetables as well, man. Take care of y'allselves. Lip out.